thinking about selling your business? Do you know what is the difference between selling your business at a good time and a bad time? It could be the difference between 5x multiple, right? Meaning you could have sold it at a bad time for $5 million because you have so much pressures. 4 years later, $28 million. 3 years later, $101 million. You know how I know this? Because I went through it with my business. I could have sold for $10 million because the stress was so bad. And I said, 5 more years. Then it's $50 million. And then I get an offer for $120. I said, 3 more years. Then the number was beautiful. When it closed and the money hits the bank, it's life-changing. But today, I'm going to talk to you about 10 worst times to sell your business. Get value out of this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. So let's get right into it. Today I'm having a call with a guy that runs a transportation company with his father. These guys used to do $60 million a year in 2022. He takes over. The business is at $20 million a year right now. If you're in the logistics business, you know how frustrating it is. A truck was worth $150,000. Today they're selling it for $50,000 and trucks are parked, not going out because orders are not what they used to be in 2022. So this guy's sitting there saying, well, maybe do I sell the business? Do I not sell the business? The stress is up to here. Infighting, all these things that are going on. And we had a lot of different conversations. So number one rule, when it comes down to selling your business, never sell your business in a down year. When your business is not doing well, the first thing you want to think about is I got to get out of this, right? Because you got three Fs, fight, flight, freeze. Right? Some freeze, don't want to go to work, are afraid to make the phone calls. They don't call the clients back because they're worried they're going to cancel, right? You're freezing. It's not a leader and that's not you. You can't do freeze. Some want to flight. I'm leaving the industry. I'm so stressed out. I'll never forget 2010, 2011. I'm laying in bed thinking to myself, all my savings has depleted to $13,000. I have so much stress, anxiety, panic, and I don't know who to explain it to. You don't have like a therapist you go to, right? It's not like you're talking to somebody. Everybody is following your dream, the vision you sold. One day we're going to be dot, dot, dot. I'm saying, man, did you make the right decision? How much can you get for the business right now? If somebody gave me $2.5 million, watch this. A guy comes to me, we meet at Beverly Hills Hotel. He knows who he is. If he watches us, he'll crack up. We're in the hotel. He says to me, if you partner with me, I'll get you $3 million, of which you can take $1.5 million off the table. I go in the room and I'm sitting thinking to myself, after having put 10, 11 years into this business, I'm gonna sell this business and give up 50% for a $1.5 million check. I walked away, I said, how big you think my vision is? That offer frustrated me and upset me. I came back and grew the business. Obviously, we sold for a lot more than that. What's the point there? But at the down year, when things weren't going my way, I almost made an emotional decision. You cannot be doing that. So fight, flight, freeze. You got to fight and figure out a way to come out of it. That's what you got to be doing. Number two, next one. You haven't done enough research to find out what you can do to increase the market value of your business. I remember it is 2017. We have a board meeting. One of my board members, I say, hey, I want to go sit down with JP Morgan Chase and all these other guys because I want to know my company's worth. A guy says, your company's worth nothing with the small EBITDA that you have. We're at this restaurant called Ocean Air. There's 7 people there. Those 7 know exactly which meeting I'm talking about. It gets very heated. I asked this guy to leave the board. I said, how dare you sit in this room here if you don't believe in it? I make the call. I called the guy that gave the money. I told him this guy's got to leave. Didn't invite him back to the meetings that we were doing. But I said, I want to go to New York and sit down with private equity and investment bankers. We go. I sit down with companies that were selling businesses for $25 to $50 million. I went to companies that were selling companies for $50 to $200 million. And I sat with 2 investment bankers that would sell businesses from $200 million to a couple billion dollars. These guys were the big guys. So obviously these guys kind of talked to me like this because we were not big yet. These guys were kind of like, you're going to get there eventually. And these guys were fully like, oh my God, we want your business. Because we could sell it right now for $38 million or $50 million, and I don't want these guys. I want these guys. So I said, so tell me, what is the market right now paying for? Who are the biggest buyers right now? Is it strategic buyers? Every one of these guys, I did so much research, and I'm taking notes, taking notes, taking notes, taking notes, taking notes. They said, for a company your size, they're given 5 to 7x EBITDA. I said, 5 to 7x EBITDA? Yes, I'm not doing that. Well, you know, just that's what it is for the market right now. Whatever you do is 5 to 7. I said, who has sold recently for 15 to 20 times? The only people selling for 15 to 20 times EBITDA are the tech-enabled companies. Can you give me some examples? Pa, pa, pa. What did they buy? Pa, pa, pa. What were they special about their software? Ta, ta, ta. The person that bought it, what did they with the software? They use the software for this. Really? Yes. Let's come back. We take the $10 million that we had raised. We took $3 million of it. We invested into our software, Bamboo. That software, eventually we put $5, $10 million into it, and it took our company from being 5x EBITDA to 15+ times EBITDA. Why? Because we went and did research to find out what we could do to increase the valuation of the company and the multiples. That takes you going to industry conferences and interviewing with investment bankers to see what tips and what feedback can give you of the last 20 sales that are being done, who the buyers are, what they're paying for, why the valuation, and then from there say, I think we can do this to increase the valuation of our business. So don't sell until you do your research. Number three, interest rate matter, but this also has to do with market. For example, if you sell your company at high interest rates, okay, where the climate is, money is expensive, you're not gonna get the highest valuation for your business. Like today, a commercial real estate property that was $100 million is selling for $35 million. Why? Rates are so high. It's like, man, I'm not even wanting to do this. I'll deploy and I'll get rid of it, right? So when rates are low, we sold at a time where there's a part of it that's lucky. It was the last month of cheap money that was available. So when money is cheap, a lot of these aggregators or bigger companies are able to get $1 billion, $500 million, $2 billion of money to go and pick up different companies. Let's just say if they're picking them up strategic or a regular investor that's coming in to buy PE, whatever it may be, right? So if you sell at a low interest rate, you'll typically get a better valuation than if you sell at a high interest rate. So you have to watch the market. You have to see what the market is doing. Like right now, if you look at 2023 IPO year, was one of the worst years in IPO. Not a good year for IPO, but probably 24th, fourth quarter, maybe 2025 IPO is gonna come back up. So there is also element of when you go public, when you sell, when you go through those things. It could be the difference between you selling for $50 million and $100 million, or depending on what size business, it could be $100 million or $300 million because interest rates and the market favors you. Point four, you haven't hired a consulting firm to see what feedback they can give you before going into the market. So you go hire a consulting firm and you sit down with them. You say, look, here's what I'm thinking about doing. This is my business. Here's what I got going on. Can you, from the outside, look at my business and see what areas of weakness I got to be able to increase my market value so I'm ready to go out there and sell? So somebody will sit down, they'll look at your org chart, they'll look at your management team, they'll look at your numbers, they'll look at your technology that you have, they'll look at the markets you're in, they'll look at your story being told, they'll look at all of that stuff, then they'll help you put a pitch deck together. And the pitch deck has to be a proper kind of pitch deck put together before you go out to the market. Those things where somebody sits there and says, well, I'm not, why would I spend $100,000 or $200,000 to go with this consulting firm and do this engagement? Why would I spend that kind of money? Because if you spend a couple $100,000 with a consulting firm and you end up getting a bigger valuation for your business because you were able to get cleaned up within 3, 6, 9 months, what is that worth to you if you sell the business for $48 million instead of $32 million? You're worried about $200,000. They made you $60 million additional dollars. So for you, if you're somebody that's thinking about selling your company, you want to learn more before you go into the marketplace, we run a company called BitDavid Consulting. You can go to our website, BitDavidConsulting.com. Watch the 2-minute video at the top, how we differentiate ourselves from the marketplace. Then go watch the 5x5 approach that we take. You can fill out the information, watch a 22-minute video. If there's a way we can help you out, one of our reps will get a hold of you, you'll have a conversation, and we'll see what we can do together. But if it's not us, hire somebody on the consulting side. There's many great ones out there. Hire somebody, sit down with them, see if there's a way that can help you increase your market value before you go out there and sell your business. Number five, disorganized financial records. Why? Because typically businesses use a relative or a cousin or somebody's brother, sister. It's like, well, I went to school with this person and that guy's my accountant, and they're independent accountants, not working at a big accounting firm. I remember when I had to fire my accountant. Nice guy, funny guy, overwhelmed. And every time I needed something, next month, I can't afford to do that. So I went and hired a top 10. We worked with them. They made everything clear. So when I was going to raise money, the people I was talking to, like, wait a minute, you've been doing accounting like this? Yes. Wow. You guys are this put together? Yes. Interesting. Great. Can we see your numbers? No problem. Contact our, boom. And then they would talk, and the accountant said, we spend 3 times probably more money on our accounting fees, maybe 5 times more money. But when it came down to raising money, the investors were blown away with the fact that we were prepared. So take an audit and inventory about who manages your finances, your accountants. If it's not the ones that are ready for the next level, especially when you want to go sell, upgrade the accounting firm you're currently working with. Next one, running a business is hard. So number six, a lot of people want to sell their business, but they're burned out. This is the worst time to sell your business. Burned out means what? You're working so hard, things are not going your way. You hired 7 people, they all quit. You can't land a C-suite executive that stays with you. It's just so many different frustrating things that's going on. You're using a recruiting firm that they're not giving you the best people. It's just so many different things. So eventually you're coming home, you're like so stressed out. You're like, I'm done. I don't want to deal with this anymore. Probably one of the worst times to sell, when you're burned out, because you're not ever going to be permanently burned out. Instead, use that moment to say, what do I need to do to improve as a leader? What courses do I need to take? Do I need to go take an executive course to become a better operator, better CEO? Maybe I'm not good of a salesperson. Maybe I need to study conflict resolution because I don't know how to communicate with them. But be straight up with yourself. If you have a person that's a coach of yours, they'll probably be able to give you feedback and say, consider working in this following area. But when you're having one of those years when you're burned out, immediately hire yourself a coach, recreate yourself, improve yourself, because odds are everything rises and falls on you. Number 7, after losing a partner. So let's just say you guys had a 50-50 deal. You're running the company. Things are going great. He walks away. She walks away. You're by yourself. You're like, oh my God, that guy was our finance guy. He was our tech guy. He was the CTO. He was a salesperson. What am I going to do now? I better go out there and sell. And you kind of are panicking because the pressure is now all on you, right? The pillow officially got harder. Used to be softer because you could lean on somebody. What do you do now? Many people have gone through what you've gone through. It happens in business. People may have different life-changing events that's taking place that causes them to want to step away. This could be an opportunity for you to grow as a leader and sit there and say, I need to go find, recruit better people. And on that part, you need to maybe get better at attracting people, retaining them, recruiting them, engaging with them. There's a lot of different things. I've even made a video on this that I'll put the link here if you do want to find out a way on how to get better in the specific recruiting, hiring, and retaining aspect that causes a lot of stress. This will be a good video for you. But before selling your business because you lost a partner, take a step back, reorganize everything, and then 6 months later, things are going to be okay for you. Number 8, AI is disrupting your industry and you're panicking. What do I do? I'm not needed. What if this? What if that? Well, that typically happens with AI when the operator, the founder, the CEO is not proactive to go to conferences to see what others are doing. In our industry, there's a lot of fintech conferences to go to. Whatever industry you're a part of, there's probably a lot of conferences to go to that talks about tech. How is tech disrupting your industry? How is AI disrupting your industry? How are some people using AI to leverage and accelerate growth? What are they doing? But if you're not doing the proper research and finding out what's going on, you're going to be left behind. There was 4 guys that I dealt with who were super, super knowledgeable about the insurance industry. Every 90 days, I would call these 4 guys. You know what I would ask them? Hey, let's call him Johnny. Hey, Johnny, so what's going on? How you doing? Everything good? Yeah, so what's the latest with the insurance industry? Anything I need to know about? Yeah, you do. There's this new company that came out with the software. What is it about? Pop, pop, pop. Wow, okay. That one company, yeah, what about it? They're about to go away with those 2 products. Really? What caused them? Because of such and such. Anybody else is going to follow their lead? We're concerned that these other 2 companies may. Whoa, one of them is the one I write. Great. Let me go do a little bit more research. What's going on with those guys? So you need to be involved with some of those influencers so you can kind of get some insight on what's going on in your industry. 9 could be you're going through a personal crisis. This could be a divorce. This could be marriage is not working out. And that's very hard. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's easy. I've seen it. It's not easy. I always said marriage is the hardest thing you'll ever do, especially if you're an operator and doing that. You got kids, you got all things going on. When you're going through that process, if it's something that's tied to the nuptial and all that stuff and divorce, I mean, you got to follow the laws, whatever they may be. If it's not, sometimes things are very hard in your personal life. You know, you see athletes, sometimes they go through a lot of different things that they go through. How do you handle those? How do you manage those? You learn a lot about yourself when you go through those seasons. Unfortunately, it's not easy. And you're sitting there worrying about, well, what are people going to think about me? How am I going to handle my kids? My parents are calling me, my friends. I used to really be friends close with these guys, but they're taking her side or they're taking his side. This kind of sucks. All these things are part of it, but it lasts 3 to 6 months. You know why? Because everybody's dealing with their own set of drama that you don't know about. Everyone's dealing with something. Everybody is. They just don't tell you about it. Everybody is going through something right now, but they're very good actors, and we don't show it. You're playing poker right now. You know it. So is the rest of the world. A part of your job when you're going through that, take a deep breath, reflect. Have the right people around you, the right advisors, the right mentors to kind of help you throughout that process. I'm sure you got your right friends and people, loved ones that will help you go through it as well. But meanwhile, you chose to start a company. Nobody told you to do it. You didn't have to start a company. Why don't you just go be a barista at Starbucks? Why don't you go work at a regular place? Who told you to work this? Go work at a movie theater and check tickets. You don't have to start a business. That was your choice. Now you got to get the job done to finish it up, and you're not there yet. So when that happens and it's a personal crisis, you still got to take the lead. Not telling you to be a robot. There's going to be moments you have to step away and go enjoy, you know, go have your moment to reflect. But at the end of the day, if you're a leader, you got to go through that season as well. Last but not least, you only have one buyer. Never sell when you only have one buyer. I've been through that before. When you have one buyer, here's what you do. I personally can tell you I did that. You'd call the buyer like, hey, so we're getting a lot of other offers. Yeah, we're probably not going to respond for another month, well, maybe 2 months. But yeah, if you do, great. Congratulations to you. You know, if you see something that's a better offer, all the best to you. And you're like, no, no, no. You know, we're willing to. They know that you don't have another offer. So they can go lower and lower and lower. Makes sense. So what do you do in a situation like that? Maybe you have to regroup and take your company off the, you know, market and say, ah, I'm not selling. That's what we did. But yeah, we're not selling. Second time around when we went through it, nearly 17 offers. You know what happens when you got 17 offers? And your investment banker calls and says, hey, this is all I'll tell you. You got 24 hours. If you don't make an offer, we're putting you out of the deal. No, 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 no. I'll get you an offer tonight. Okay, cool. But I'm telling you, tomorrow, you're out. No, I'll get you the deal. No problem. And when will you close? Da, da, da. So you see, now you have leverage, right? So if you only have one offer on the table and you sell, they own you, they control you. If they fall for the trap that they think you have multiple options, well, then good for you. But for the most part, buyers know when you're bluffing, especially when you're dealing with a big amount of money that you're about to sell. That's life-changing for you when you've never made this kind of money before. You're going to act in a different way, and they're going to know it. If you got value out of this video, give it a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. And if you're watching and saying, man, I got a question for Pat. I specifically want to ask you a question. No problem. Download the app Monect. You get to pay to ask any questions from experts, consultants on the app Monect. If you want to ask me a question, I can text you back or respond back in an audio, or I can respond back in a video. Or you can Monect with Tom. If you know Tom, you've seen him on the podcast with me, BizDoc. He's been involved in doing nearly 20-something deals, selling or raising money for close to $2 billion. If you want to ask Tom any questions in this area as well, he's an expert in this area. Having said that, take care, everybody. Bye-bye.